live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch. Okay, trying to make some phone calls here to reach some of the regulars that show up on the program, and having a little difficulty with Kim. Kim, pick up your phone. Pick up your phone. Because if it doesn't work this time, I'm going to move on to John Granger before I get taken to task for not getting him in here. Okay, I'm hoping you guys can hear me, because whenever Facebook screws up the way it's screwing up tonight, usually that means the show can't be heard from my end. So how's it going, Kelly? You there, bud?
Yeah, I am. How you doing, Frank?
Good, okay. You can hear me. Good. Bruce John Inch?
Excuse me. I can hear you, okay. And you also coming through on the Internet.
Am I? Good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, my Facebook is screwing up. And it won't let me post the show on Facebook. Maybe that's Facebook trying to
find something. I got it. You posted it.
Yeah, it shows
it did,
me that...
It
did? Okay, good.
It
good.
Did.
That's better
yes,
than I thought.
I copied the link and I put it on my cat's wall.
Perfect,
so, yeah,
perfect.
That's how
give
I knew
Stormy
you were
Schmidt,
on.
I'm going to give Stormy Schmidt a shot here now so we can get Schmidtified.
How are you, Mr. Kelly?
Very good, Bruce. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome CFL weekend. I really feel like this is a weekend of the matchups, both games.
I would not. I don't want to be the football in Saskatchewan.
No doubt.
That football's going to get a beaten.
Oh, yeah.
Two very angry and unhappy teams, boy.
For sure. Both of them with good reason, too. I mean, just last week's performance is just not up to winning in the CFL today, and you got to be upset about that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'll figure. Now, first, I'll tell you what. Oh, good. Okay, we got it. The phones are working a wee bit here. Just being a little tough. And so this week we saw – tonight we can talk about giving our picks for the week, and I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a fun week, like you guys are saying right off the get-go. Calgary's a team that, as Storm knows, like the Argos, has had a hit and miss start to the season. They're both basically in the same boat, as are BC and of course Saskatchewan. They're both in a position where they want to turn their fortunes around. BC has really, they've come out of the gate real slow. Many are putting the blame on Kevin Glenn. You know, 6 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. The touchdown to interception ratio not exactly favoring him. A lot of us talked well about Glenn and thought, I don't think any of us thought that his season in BC would start the way it has. I don't know that anybody's figured out why it is the way it is. Maybe too much pressure. I don't know. But he hasn't been under a lot of pressure the past few years. Even though he went to the Grey Cup against the Argos. You know, he wasn't the quarterback that was supposed to bring them there, even though he did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep.
Totally agree with you, Frank.
Yep, same here.
Yep.
Well, Frank must have muted himself again.
I was just thinking the same thing. Hear that? Oh, well.
Have another sandwich.
Making another sandwich with John.
There you go.
So, but yeah, I'm gonna have to miss the games on Saturday. Unfortunately, I got a birthday party I gotta go to for my friend's 1 year old daughter in the afternoon, and then I got a stag and doe to go to that night. So, but I hope that Saskatchewan wins it.
I don't know if I'm back. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, you're there.
Back. How are you?
Long I got booted out of my own show.
Wow.
You guys think it's bad for you? How do you think it feels to get booted out of your own show? I told you, I saw it coming. I saw it coming. There's something wrong. When my Facebook starts going the way it was going, you were going on about a personal experience?
Who?
You, Bruce.
I was just saying I'm gonna have to miss Saturday's games because I got prior commitments, but I'll be able to.
The
watch
Hamilton
Friday.
Game?
We're not playing this weekend.
Yeah, you've got you've got a bye.
Yeah, we got a bye.
This is your bye week.
This is our bye week, and then we're in Calgary, yeah. I believe, next week, right? I think.
Right.
That's
then
right.
We're back
yep.
here at the big Ron Joy Stadium.
Oh God!
I'll be at that game though, man. We'll be on the phone at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Get my ticket for the Ottawa game.
Cool,
because we're only allowed to have one, right? So.
Right.
I'd like to know what happens if all 15,000 of us want tickets, man. 3,000 of us are going to be very disappointed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ticket holders will rule.
And I know a few guys for a fact that I've already talked to the reps, and they said they were going to cancel their season altogether if they weren't allowed to have both games. So I don't know what they're going to do for those people. You
right.
know? It's in the, you know, I feel sorry for the Ticats, man. You know, I do. You know, they got screwed last year. We had to go all the way out to Guelph. We made the best of it. Went to the Grey Cup. We lost it. But we made the best of that season, man, for what we were given. And now we'll be
jerked
around the game. You know? So,
and it all comes down to the fans. It all comes down to the fans, plain and simple.
Yeah, but you know what? And I'll say here, and I hope we have 100,000 listeners tonight, because Bob Young, I'll give him all the credit. He went out of his way again, and he's going to keep the same price again for us next year for season tickets. So I have not had
That's
any.
Awesome.
I increased myself because I upgraded this year. But I have not had a ticket increase since 2012, and I still won't receive one next year. He's going to live on that commitment, you know, just because
That's
of
awesome.
The stadium being behind. And he didn't have to do that, but he's doing that because he's a good owner, and he looks after the fans, whether or not whose fault it is. Let's not lay the blame game. A lot of people are blaming the city of Hamilton up here for not having their stuff ready on time. For different projects, I guess, to be built at a certain time. Infrastructure, Ontario's, you know.
Well, it's infrastructure because I work in the construction trade, and I tell you, you know what, they want things done, and it doesn't get done, and you're doing your best to do it, and it's not on their schedule, then who gets the schmidt? We do.
Right, right.
Right, so... You know, it's a part of everybody, I think, in a way, and nobody will really know what it comes down to, whose actually fault it is. But, you know, they just want football, plain and simple, right? And
yeah, that's right. But the big question is, who's Bob Young going to get this so-called $2 million, if not $3 million, if we're not in until Labor Day, which I think will be the case. I think we'll have three games at McMaster, no doubt.
You know the blame game.
I was by that
the
stadium last weekend, Frank. You saw the video I made of the stadium.
Yeah.
We knew then, right when I was taking that. There's no way. But,
you know what? When they're not bragging about it being on, you know it happening, you know it's not going to happen. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
And when it's all said and done, that's going to be a world-class stadium, and everybody's going to love in Eastern Ontario to come to that stadium.
And everybody's going to enjoy that fifth stadium.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not going to be football. No, they're going to have other events. But, you know, sure,
well, just
it's
hopefully you guys,
but you got to look at the big picture.
Hopefully you guys
either way,
there in Hamilton don't lose fans over because of missing the first two, three games, whatever, so be it. You know?
Yeah, we're going to get into that. I wanted to discuss that too. We'll pick the games at the, in the last half hour, 40 minutes. We'll pick who's going to win and why. In the interim, right now, you know, the subject of the construction and why it takes so long to build stadiums in Canada is incredible. I mean, you know, Winnipeg took 2 years.
I think
you know,
they did pretty good though, Frank, for the time when they finished demolishing that stadium until they got the actual permits to start.
Time's up. You've hit the maximum time for your recording. If you're happy with your message, hit 1. To listen to your message, hit 2. To erase it and record again,
okay,
hit 3.
Okay, that might be Kim. Let me see. I got Kim's answering machine. All right, let's do an inventory on who's here. I believe that was Kim that I called. Finally got through to her phone, but unfortunately it was an answering machine. I think John Granger's here. Are you, John? Are you here?
Oh, no.
John? That answers that question.
Johnny.
Well, I called John. He didn't answer. I called Kim. She didn't answer. Then, of course, we've got Stormy's here. Storm's here. So is Mr. Kelly Bale. And, of course, Bruce John Inch. I believe we've got Mike Townsend. He calls in. So, you know, his number pops up because he called.
Mikey.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing? What's going on, Brucey? What's going on?
How you doing, brother? How's your week?
Oh, man.
My week
is doing good. My week is doing good, y'all. My trainee passed his written test today. He's going to pass his road test tomorrow. So
that was a gentleman that you posted backing up?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes,
awesome,
sir.
Man. Well, give him a congratulations for us. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, yeah, man. So I think I'm about to win Driver Trainer of the Month coming up.
Good, good, good. That's something to be proud of, actually. Good stuff, Mike. Good.
Now, that's not
thank
all
you,
he's got.
Sir. Thank you.
That's not all he's got to talk about.
Oh, no.
Are you switching CFL teams again? What are you doing?
Oh, no, man. Mm-mm.
Calgary.
Me and some business partners, we looking to have a 2016 expansion kickoff in one of these indoor football leagues in 2016.
Oh, wow. Like a brand new team?
Yep.
Good. Wow.
Where are you going to play?
Hopefully in Detroit.
And
in the inner city somewhere. We just got to find a stadium. We're in the open stages of getting everything situated, so we got a long way to go. That's
you got a lot of places you can go. You got Cobo Hall.
Well, you know what, Frank, dealing with Cobo Hall, it might be a little bit too expensive to rent that Cobo Hall. We're going to start off with a small arena, say about 3,000, 2,500 seat capacity, and see what the first season holds for us.
And what kind of stadiums do you have that fit that?
Around Detroit area, we have a lot of them. We have the Dearborn Ice Skate Arena, Livonia Arena, the Taylor Arena. Being up north, man, we got Hockey's Arena all around the suburban areas that's not too far from Detroit where the fans have come in. I don't want to have nothing too far from the city because I want to get the inner city involved, potentially, you know, have my team when we get to go to the schools, talk to the kids about the importance of staying in school, bullying, get involved in the community, man, give back a little bit, you know, and I really want to do that in the inner city because the bigger professional teams like the Pistons and everybody, they deal with the suburbs. I want to deal with the inner city.
Oh, man. God bless.
So right now you're in the – tell us about where you're at as far as how close you are to actually having an expansion team? You're at the point now where you're just trying to get the finances together to make it happen?
That's it. Get the finances together, do some homework on the different second-tier leagues that they have out, and then go from there.
Okay.
You know,
can you tell us
what
kind of partner? Yeah. Silent. Okay. So I won't ask. I was going to ask what kind of partners you had, but obviously they're quiet, so we're not going to talk about them that much. And Kim, I have tried to call you a few times. Give me a message on Facebook when you're ready to answer your phone. Yeah, I've been trying to call Kim, and her phone. She's not answering her phone. Okay.
I had a business partner of mine, Frank, that I have known for a while. He called me last night and said, you still want to do this indoor thing? I said, of course. He said, well, I'm a silent business partner. I don't want to be put on nothing. I just come with the money, and I drop the money, and I go about my business.
Oh, good. Send them my way.
So
I like
people
who give money and don't want nothing to say about it. That's a perfect world there in the making.
Right. You know, I believe I pitched a good business deal to him, and it was something that he was very interested in, and he liked what he heard. So, you know, hey, hopefully that we can get this thing jumped off by 2016, man, and see where it goes, you know.
Well, good luck, Mr. Donovan.
Only thing you can do is try. Thank you, sir. So, you know, that's where I'm at right now, and when I get everything else situated, y'all guys will be the first ones to know.
Right on, man. Right on. Well, that's awesome, Mike. That's the best news of the week,
sir.
That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Especially after, you know, you're going to do it in the inner city and you're talking about going in into the high schools and all that. That's what it's all about, brother. You know?
Man, you know, you got to get the kids involved, man. You mean they need something that's going to be affordable family fun to come to, because, you know, a lot of major sports, a lot of families, man, you know, be in financial situations. You don't know
what
the financial situations are. And if you can make something that's fun for families, man, for the kids to be involved in, where it's low cost and they're having fun, man, that right there matters to me, you know, because I know how it was going to arena football games when my mama could afford to get me tickets, but none of my friends could go. And, you know, I just want to make everything affordable family fun, man, low cost, everybody having fun, having a good time, and hopefully we can win a championship.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Fellas, what we got?
You have a name already?
Do
you have a name already?
I got a couple. But when we get definite on the name, I'll tell y'all what the name would be.
Sounds good.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna leave that silent for now.
Silent night.
But once we come with a definite name. Once we come with a definite name, man, y'all going to be the first ones I'm going to let know. Logos and everything.
I'd name them the Stamps if I were you. Just out of the blue.
Or the
Detroit.
Or the Detroit Stamps. There we go.
I'm going to tell you something, Smith. We got something close to it. It might not be a Stampede, but it's close to it.
The Detroit Horses?
No. No, we close to it. I got a jazzy name, and I'll let y'all know what it is, man, in the upcoming months.
Do you call it the Detroit Is?
Oh, no. Nah, it would be nice, but no. I'm thinking, and I don't want to put it out there yet because I don't want anybody to steal my thunder that might be thinking about putting another team in Detroit, so I'll let that be. I'll be excited.
Okay, fair enough.
The way to be.
Allow me to confirm. Is Kim in the room now?
Black and white, that's fine.
Yes, I am.
Okay, I've tried to call you about 5-6 times, man.
I was having a nap.
Oh, good for you. But did I wake you up?
No, my dog woke me up.
Oh, okay. You heard the phone ring.
yeah.
So basically.
I was just speaking. Hey, Kim.
I guess she didn't hear you. All right,
okay.
So here we are. Another week. We've discussed what happened last week. In the near future, in about an hour, we'll start talking about what we think is going to happen this week. Before we get to that part, last year I wanted to talk about where we're at with the young quarterbacks. You know, when the season started, in fairness, I don't think anybody picked Drew Willey as probably the best young quarterback in the CFL after two games. And at the bottom,
either Mike Townsend or Manasseh did. They're really on high on that Willie guy. I remember that. One of the two. Maybe it was Manasseh. He was all for Willie. You watch Willie,
anyway.
Man. You watch. But, yeah, yep. Just saying.
Well,
go ahead.
He's good. He's good anyway. He wasn't the big favorite. People were talking about Caleros. And he hasn't quite had a chance to show what he can do. And then you have a young gun Troy Smith, who many thought would be at the top of the list, and he hasn't been at the top of the list really. And even the win they did have wasn't really to his credit, was the defense. Bo Levi Mitchell and Tate are interchangeable. I think many thought that Drew Tate would get the starter's role in Calgary. Bo Levi Mitchell did get a start and did get a win. And you look at the five quarterbacks that, you know, the young guys. The best one, of course, I think the one that has come through, and I don't know if we can call him a young quarterback, even though he is very young, Mike Riley of Edmonton, is obviously the best quarterback, young quarterback, but I think he has a head start on the rest of the guys who didn't have last year to learn, especially under the circumstances and the pressure that he did. He's been outstanding this year, and he is the best young quarterback. Do we see any more room for any young quarterback surprises this year? I mean, considering how many young quarterbacks right now are at the helm. Mike, what do you think?
Right now, I think that the quarterback solidification is already done as far as the younger quarterbacks. I think this is going to be the youngest we're going to see with Riley. Troy Smith, even though he's not young per se, but he's still a young guy, you know, first full season of CFL. Caleros, Bo Levi. I mean, you know, right now, I think the next quarterback surprises are going to come next year in the 2015 season. We're going to see more of a new leap of quarterbacks coming, new CFL quarterbacks that's going to be on the uprise.
It has been a pretty good year for young quarterbacks thus far. You've got five that definitely have their hands on the controls of their teams, whether they've earned it or not, you know, which remains to be seen. What do you think, Bruce?
I really don't know, man, because our quarterback's KO'd right now. So I'm surprised. I am one that is surprised at how fast Drew Willie came out of the blocks. I'm happy for him. But let's see what Zach can do, because he really hasn't shown me anything yet.
What do you think of Troy Mitchell and Mike Riley? Troy Smith, I'm sorry, Mike Riley.
Well, Troy Smith, he's a Montreal guy, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They've won one game. One and two right now, right?
Do you think didn't he look better in the playoff against you guys last year than he has so far this year?
Well, he lost in the playoff, didn't he?
Yeah, no, I know, but he's still
only as good as your last game.
Well, there you go.
Right, so given his last game, then, okay, I'll give him credit, because Montreal did. I wasn't predicting them to win.
Gotcha. How about you, Mr. Schmidt? You got two young quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I appreciate that we have two young quarterbacks that can do the job. Like, I've never been a Tate fan, but still on my team. And I said Bo Levi Mitchell was going to start the season. I was right on that one. But Riley, yes, of course. I mean, if Edmonton's going to go anywhere, it's going to be him. And you know my thing on Caleros. I don't think he's going to end up the rest of the season. And Montreal, I don't know. I don't know. If they don't get their Schmidt together, there's going to be something going on there because, they've always been a good team, but, you know, when it comes down to quarterback, it's the number one place in the CFL, and if you don't put up, then someone else is going to come back in. But I don't think there's any other young guys out there that can step up to the plate if someone else fails. Don't think so.
Gotcha. How about you, Kelly?
Yeah, I really don't see any weakness for any team with their young quarterbacks. Everybody's got some real positive light there. And, you know, you can talk about other teams too, like Brome and Winnipeg. Fans are really high on Brome. Sunseri in Saskatchewan saw what he could do when Darien got pulled. I think his QB percentage rating or whatever they call it, the passer rating, was much higher than Darien's, of course, over limited time. But, you know, there's a lot of great young talent all over the league. I think Montreal, if Smith doesn't make it, they've got Marsh, you know, just waiting in the wings. And, you know, they've got enough talent that they felt comfortable enough to release Nieswander in the offseason. And I thought he had potential over what Winnipeg brought to the table last year. Yeah, that's where I stand.
Problem is, if someone comes up, you have to get those guys in the gameplay, right? They can come in after the eighth game and all of a sudden they're rusty, so how does that help them?
But so, it doesn't help them that well, does it?
No, it doesn't. So it all depends on what the coach thinks and what they want to do with their top quarterback that's a starter. So
I think him with taking off on a jet.
Like with Calgary, with Tate and Bo Levi Mitchell, I think that's going to go back and forth all year.
You thought that was funny, Kim?
Yeah, I wasn't making any noise.
There's some air sound, like you're traveling in a car with your head out the window on the phone.
Oh, a couple minutes ago?
A few seconds ago.
Oh, well, maybe it's my fan.
Oh, there you go. That's what it is.
That's what it was.
Between my fan and my cat, I was trying to tell my cat to be quiet, to be talk, so I didn't want him to get started.
He's got a funny hiss sound.
Oh, no, he actually talks. He'll say no, why, out. Like, he'll have a full conversation if I let him.
Okay, that's
scary. Oh, boy. That is scary.
So he jumped up on the bed with me. I didn't want him to start talking. And
okay. Don't start talking. All right, so what do you think of the quarterback situation, the young quarterbacks? We've got a lot. Last year, a few came out of the woodwork, and it seems this year they're starting, and they're doing well. To varying degrees, they're having success.
I've liked them all. Zach, I haven't been impressed with. I thought Zach was going to come out just guns blaring and blow the socks off everyone, and I haven't been impressed with him whatsoever. Every game, he's looked nervous, doesn't look like he has any confidence. And that, but the rest of them, I think, are doing really good for themselves.
Good one. Okay. So
that was a good one, too.
Okay, so then the quarterbacks are where they are. Now, what about teams and depth? Right now, you've got a few teams like Hamilton, Edmonton. They're suffering a lot of injuries. Edmonton had four in the last game, and the question is, how important do you think the depth the team has? It's probably a rhetorical question, but tell me about why you think a team like Edmonton will fail or succeed with all the injuries, as will Hamilton. Is Hamilton on a long-term... There goes that fan again.
No, I'm opening crackers now.
Oh.
Oh, I thought off the catnip.
I thought I heard the fan coming again. So.
Better than popcorn.
So what do you think? You know, you're a good start, Schmitty.
Yep.
The team now has their number one all-star Canadian, all-Canadian running back is hurt. He's coming into Toronto not to play, maybe to watch at most. Will your team have the ability to fill the space that he creates by his absence?
I think with Saunders, it can be done. Walters, it can be done, but it's You know, I was still hoping that he would play on Saturday, but like with the news that I'm getting around here that he's not gonna play, so that goes back to the fines and all that, but we're not going to get into that. But anyways, I think Calgary's got a really good defense, which helps the situation, and their offense. You know, I don't know. Cornish is just part of my blood and my team. I mean, he's I don't know. It's so hard to explain. He's just
Well, he's the rock back there. He's the guy that you all lean on to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done.
That's when people have to step up, though, and replace that situation, because he's not going to be replaced when he comes back. He'll get his job back, but the point is you know, they played good against Montreal, and going in Toronto, Calgary doesn't play that good in Toronto, first of all, so, you know, that's a thing that might be on the back of their heads, but I don't know. I'd say it's going to be a close game, but then again, I could be out to lunch, dinner, and breakfast, so who knows.
Well, we'll figure it out once the clock starts running, right?
Exactly.
As long as the game doesn't turn into a Brazil-Germany game, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, if Calgary wins 7-1, I'll be fine.
There you go. What do you think of Calgary's how difficult it's going to be, Jim, for Calgary to play well against Toronto based on the injury to Cornish. The Argos are without Matt Black. They haven't said anything.
And
about
Andre.
And Andre Drury. How important is it for the Argos to fill those shoes?
Oh, extremely. Andre's one of their top ones that they know he can get the ball and he can run with it. Without him, and that's my fear of going into this game, is they don't have Matt Black and they don't have Andre. It's two guys that do a lot of plays during the game.
What about this new guy Anderson? Can he fill a gap for Toronto?
Hopefully he can step up. He can step up to it and do it. I'm really hoping he can.
They're making it sound like, or at least he is, he's there to teach the guys the system that Burke has in play.
Yeah. I think he's a good player. I've heard a lot about an attitude he has.
Overconfident?
Overconfident, and it's like it's his way or no way. A coach will tell him something. If he doesn't agree, he goes and does what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm hoping, coming to Toronto, we'll have a different guy. He won't be like that.
Yeah, well, he knows the head coach. He knows the head coach, and he knows the defensive coordinator in Burke. You know, these guys all work together in Montreal, so they all know each other. So I guess I'm assuming that there's a comfort level there that just has to be returned to, as opposed to, you know, created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if he's got a good attitude going, he will fill the voids very well.
How about you, Kelly? Do you think Calgary and Toronto we won't talk about how the outcome yet. We'll do that later. But what kind of effect do the injuries have for these two teams this week with the Argos, Drury, and you know, and Black not playing? Looking at Cornish missing from the Calgary lineup, what do you think the effect for these guys will be? And do those teams have the depth to overcome the absences of those key players?
I definitely think they have the depth. I think both of those injuries in Toronto basically equal about the Cornish injury, so they kind of cancel out. And I think both teams will be able to do it. I mean, you've seen it time and time before where teams just have to deal with the adversity of injury. And when there's somebody down, somebody has to step up, and that's what's going to happen this week for both of these teams. And it really provides an opportunity for fans to see who is next up. And I personally never, you know, terribly hurt that one of my players is injured on a game level. On a personal level, it disturbs me. But other than that, I like watching the next step come in and meet the challenge.
Well, Bolden for the Argos showed that he wasn't a bad replacement. So your point
totally.
Is well taken, well taken and well made.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the, you know, for one man's disaster, it's an opportunity for another. And as you say, you know, great players don't always come to the team, you know, in a direct route. Sometimes
yeah.
it requires, you know, subtraction for their addition is what we're
Absolutely.
Talking about here. It's not always,
yeah.
sometimes, well, I think in fairness, the same thing could, you know, a great example of it would be the failure of Winnipeg, of signing Burris and then going after Caleros, and then in some people's eyes have to be satisfied with Willie. They kind of backed into the better quarterback, I think. I mean, if what's gone on so far this year is any indication anyway. So yeah, injuries have a way of identifying your depth, and depth's a real important thing. The general managers, you know, more than anything, you know, guys like, you know, Mr. Barker here in Toronto, have a reputation of bringing in guys that are really good, and as soon as he brings that guy that's really good, he doesn't stop there. He's looking already for somebody to replace that guy. Why? In case something happens. So, yeah, you know, having depth is a key factor. I think both Calgary and Toronto won't be impacted by the injuries that they have. Again, luckily for the Argos, they picked up Coombs. I mean, I think Coombs can jump into Drury's position rather easily because, quite frankly, I think they're a lot alike. They both have the same, you know, the same you know, quality and advantage against the opposition. They know how to make players miss. They're pretty good with their hands, which is important, and they can also carry the ball. So, you know, I think from the beginning I thought that Coombs would be the guy that would move into Drury's position. I just didn't think it would happen this soon. How about you, Bruce? You got a comment on that? Injuries, Calgary, Toronto, will it impact the game in any way, in your opinion?
I think they're both, like you said and Kelly said, they'll outweigh each other. They got enough backups that know how to play the game, and it's time for someone else to shine. But I'm just looking at both the teams' one-game roster, and none of those big names are on there, including Cornish.
Right. Right.
So
they're not.
So how do we know that they're not going to be suited up? Have you been to the Argos practice this week?
No. We know that Drury's out for 6 weeks. We know that today we got good news. Shea Emery's out there practicing, so that means he's going to be probably playing. He's coming back early enough that, you know, that he might...
Andre Drury, you mean, right?
Andre Drury is out for 6 weeks.
Because he's not even on a sixth game, so I don't know when your team or often they update a website.
I don't know about the paperwork.
Wait, no,
that is evidence.cfl.ca, but I can assure you, you know, some people suggest that they can't believe that he'll be back in six because of the injury. Not the collarbone. Near the collarbone.
Oh, wow.
Broken. But again, they've got Coombs, and you know,
right?
they've got Slayton's hurt as well. But, you know, again, that depth at running back exists with the Argos mainly because of Coombs' ability to step up, you know, from special teams. Calgary, you know, what do you think of Calgary without Cornish? Are they a much different team in your mind?
And Mo Price, I forgot to add that before.
Yeah, I think they're a better team with Cornish for sure, but I still think they can get it done. And you know me and my Argos, so I think the Argos will go down to, you know.
Yeah, it's what you keep hoping, and it keeps not happening.
That's what you
got
to do, right?
Because
I know my Ticats aren't playing, so I have to look forward to something.
Well, yeah, you got to work hard to make sure that the Argos don't win. And, of course, we always like to appreciate – we appreciate disappointing you as often as we can.
That's your job.
That's my job.
That's your job,
Mike
Will.
Mike Townsend, what do you think? Calgary, Toronto, injuries, will they impact the game in any way?
No, it's not going to. Well, I was about to say it won't impact the game the only way that is going to impact the game on Calgary's side for a loss is if whoever the backup running back in Calgary, I think it's Walters, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I can't
think
of the guy's name. Walters have to have a big game so it can offset the injury. Because if they don't have a running game, all Calgary's going to have to do is start passing the ball. And if the receivers and that quarterback is not on cue, it's going to be a long day for Calgary. I'm not too much worried about Ricky Ray's passing ability and Toronto. I just worry more about Calgary than Toronto's running game.
There you go. Well, it's going to be an interesting match regardless. And, Kim, I apologize. I turn off your mic only because that noise that you hear in the background, that's you watch. I'll turn the mic off. See that?
Yeah.
No,
oh, yeah,
here.
For sure.
But I will make sure I give you time to talk until that, just because that noise is very disconcerting. So basically, Calgary and Toronto, we've discussed the situation health-wise, depth-wise, what kind of team they're going to be able to field, you know, against each other. I think we can both agree it's a saw-off as far as the injuries are concerned. Both teams will either suffer or overcome pretty much at the same rate. I don't think injuries are a factor for these two teams. I think their ability at 6:30 on Saturday on TSN will be determined. Let's go to Winnipeg and Montreal, talk about their injuries. Winnipeg, not much to worry about as far as injuries concerned. The same true for Montreal. They just got Whitaker back, so, you know, well, he's back. So for them, injuries are not an issue. As far as depth is concerned, Montreal and Winnipeg, do you see Winnipeg being deeper than Montreal, and as far as the players are concerned, and they will, you know, if depth is a factor, which of these teams do you think has the advantage? And I guess I'll start with you, Mike, this time. You there, Mike?
Can you hear me, Frank?
Yeah, I can hear you. I heard you walk.
Okay,
towards
what
your...
was the question again?
Okay, very
my
simply.
Phone was kind of missed. I couldn't
no,
hear
no
that.
Worry, no worry, no worry. Winnipeg and Montreal. Which of these teams do you think has the advantage in depth? I think it's pretty fair to say that there's a more balanced attack coming from Winnipeg, and up till now, Montreal's been more or less a one-trick pony defense. But depth-wise, do you see these teams on an even keel as far as their ability to compete?
Well, as far as depth-wise, I think Montreal is stacked on offense as far as offensive weapons. They have Brandon Whitaker back, and then they have Labala as their backup. They have a ton of receivers that can come in and play different type of positions on the field, whether it's the slot, the X, or the Y. And also Winnipeg, man, they stack too. I actually think both teams are well balanced. It's not one that's more stacked on depth than the other. I think they're about even, really, to be honest with you.
Okay,
now, quarterback position, I think Willie has an upper hand as far as being the quarterback in between the two. I think Winnipeg has the better quarterback right now.
Yeah, they sure do. And they have the better offense. The question is, will the, you know, the offense of Winnipeg, I think the game is going to be decided by the offense of Winnipeg when they're on the field against the defense of Montreal. Because I happen to think that's where the game's going to be won. And I happen to think that Winnipeg may not have as much depth on offense in certain areas that Montreal does, but I think they have a better consistent offense simply by virtue of the quarterback and the success rate that he's been having, that being Willie, of course. He's been far more successful than Smith has. And we all know what it means in the CFL when it comes to having the best quarterback. Usually that means you have the best opportunity to win. But we'll see, because it'll be a great – that'll be the matchup that I'm looking at when I'm watching the game, when Willie's on the field and what Montreal does to negate his, you know, his great start to this season. You know, this is going to be, in my opinion, this is going to be his biggest test thus far. This, to me, is the best defense that he's facing.
And you know what, Frank? I'm going to tell you something, man. And then I stop because I'm not trying to take up the show.
Don't worry about
it. But this game here, this is going to, like I said, when I talked to Judith, she was telling me that Montreal had to make some cuts. This game here, Troy Smith has to try to get Chad Johnson involved in the offense. He has to, because you done played two games and you done thrown to him a total of maybe three times, twice in the first game, once
mm-hmm.
in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get that ball to him, man. Let's see what Chad Johnson can do, especially with the deep ball, because he's shown that he can got a burst of speed where he can put some distance between him and them deep backs. He just
and
needs
height.
To get the ball thrown to him.
And height.
Yeah, and height. Yes, and he
That's
has to get the ball
today
thrown
with
to
the
him.
CFL. Those receivers
yep.
with height.
So we can see what he can do. It's put up a shut-up town for Montreal, really. They got to
it
get
sure
their offense involved, and Troy Smith has to get more accurate with his passes. Bottom line.
Yeah, and that's going to be the key. You know, Winnipeg has
yep.
a great offense, and they have a pretty good oh. defense as well. Okay, up next, do you, Mr. Inch, have an opinion on the Winnipeg and Montreal game as far as consistency, depth, who's better suited in this game without giving away who you think is going to win, but what advantages each team has in the depth relationship, whether it be the depth at the offense or defense or the complete team? How do you see these two teams shaking out in their game on a Friday in the first of a doubleheader on TSN, Winnipeg and Montreal? I guess he's napping.
Or having a sandwich.
Brucey?
No, I'm here. I had it on mute because I just had the phone down listening until my name was called.
Oh, okay.
But, I think Winnipeg's a far better team just from what I've seen on TV. I think Drew Roy is a better quarterback. You guys are going to laugh at me. I think Ocho Rio, he's overrated. How do we know? We don't, because watching it on TV, you have to realize we're not watching Ocho every, the whole play. Like when I go to a game, I can watch a certain player and see if he's out of position or whatnot. There has to be a reason why he hasn't been getting the balls. So either he's being covered too good and we're not seeing it on TV, or I don't know. I just think Winnipeg's a better team. And leave it at that. You can move on to the next guy.
You're right. I mean, when they
come out
of the huddle.
But I just don't want to get dunked on because I know we have.
No.
I'm a fan of his, but he hasn't shown me nothing yet.
I mean, Mike, you're not offended by the fact that he's saying that Ocho Cinco, may not be in the open, and that's why he's not getting the passes.
Oh, no, because that's one of the reasons. He's either being covered too good or Troy Smith is going elsewhere with the ball.
Yeah.
It's the element that we're not seeing.
Troy Smith's not calling his own plays, is he? He's not like
right.
Anthony Cofield.
That's the next comment I wanted to add to the situation. The offense is directed by the coaching team, right? The offensive coordinator
mm-hmm.
and, of course, the head coach. And they're playing a very conservative style, something that I think works against Smith's strength. I don't know what's going to happen, but for now they're playing conservatively. They're running the ball more than maybe throwing the ball. Not going even when he's third and long, he's throwing short. I don't know what's up with that. If it's because he has a little bit of a collar on him, a leash. I can't wait to see what happens when they turn that guy loose, because what I saw from him at the end of last year, like many, I felt this was the next great quarterback in the CFL, and what we're seeing right now is the next best short pass quarterback in the CFL, which we all know, I think, we can agree that he has a pretty good arm to go the distance.
Yeah, I agree there. Yeah, if you're waiting.
Yep. Every so often, there's a pregnant pause on my part, and is usually intended for someone else to jump in. There may not be many of them, but they do happen. He's a great quarterback, and I think right now they're just easing him in. I don't pretend to understand the inner workings of creating a football atmosphere or a football chemistry on a team, or develop a system that is meant to fool the opposition. And all this that I'm saying is just my way of saying that there might be a purpose that I can't see right now for why they're using them the way they are. I don't understand it, but I won't question it other than to notice it and you know, make a note of it and mention it. Hopefully we'll get to see the kind of ability this guy has because, you know, this is a Heisman Trophy winner. Means he was one of the best quarterbacks in college in his year. So, you know, we know he has the tools. We just got to figure out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
it'd be nice to get a caller that gets to go to practices because I know they have open practices too, and actually ask them if he throws a long bomb in the practices and see if there is a reason why they're not letting him do it.
We should get Serge to call. Maybe I'll have to call Serge and find out what he thinks. But he's enamored with the Blue Jays, even though they're losing over and over again.
I have Judith to call in. Yep. Either Serge or Judith, but I agree with Bruce. We need to find out, are they letting him throw the long ball, or what's going on in practice? Or they got a collar around him and just not letting him loose, because when they let him play his game Friday, if y'all think about the first game they played, Trey Smith didn't do no scrambling. All he did was try to stay in the pocket and be a pocket passer against Calgary, and it failed. When he started scrambling around, he didn't sit open receiver. His legs played the game for him. 20-yard rush here, 10-yard rush here. That was very effective in their offensive scheme, and that's why they was able to get up on BC the way they did offensively. Because his passing game was subpar. It was okay, but it wasn't great.
Well, I agree. I agree 100%. My issue is, and I know I'm repeating myself, but my issue is that it doesn't look like they have him playing his game. He's playing.
Nope, I don't think
so. He's playing another quarterback's game. Staying in the pocket. But I guess this is all part and parcel of the education process for this quarterback in this league. There is a way to play, and it isn't necessarily the way the quarterback looks his best at right away. I mean, Drew Willie spent a lot of time learning the game in the background. Smith's being asked to do it, during a game, which to me is far more difficult because the temptation to go to your strength is so strong when things aren't going well, like you mentioned, running around, getting that 20-yard run here, that 10-yard run there. It's his strength, so it's easy when things don't go well to fall back into old patterns, but if the team doesn't think those patterns work in this league, they got to teach them. They got to basically, talking about a collar. I guess they're trying to break a Bronken buck is all I can figure, because that's what it looks like to me. It looks like they're trying to teach them to be a CFL quarterback the way they feel a CFL quarterback should be, because we know different management teams think differently. Not every quarterback is run the same way by every team, right? It is what it is. But Montreal has their management team, and they're gonna do things their way. You can't blame them. That's what they need to do. I mean, we saw it in Hamilton with Burris. It doesn't matter how good a quarterback you are. The management team's going to tell you how they want to play. And if you don't play the way they want, we all know what happens. Burris is now in Ottawa. It's important to play the way the coaching staff wants you to play. That's a key factor. So Kelly, I didn't get a chance to ask you. You're next. What do you think of the matchup between Montreal and Winnipeg? Are injuries a factor? What kind of depth may affect how this game turns out?
I think Montreal's got the edge. I'd have to agree with your comments, Frank, at the beginning there. I think they've got the edge just based on, the edge and experience with the recent Grey Cup and guys who've been there, done that. They're not all new guys on Montreal, and I think the old guys will get it done this week. I really can't see Winnipeg winning three games in a row. I think that it's not going to have anything to do with depth. I just think that Winnipeg's got to come down off of Pride Mountain there for a little while, and basically
I get what you're saying. I mean, they didn't really beat a good team in Toronto. Toronto's defense, I knew from the beginning since January that they were going to have problems. They have all but one guy is new. You know, I mean, so as much as I love my Argos, I really did think their defense was a problem, and they ran up against a quarterback that had a lot to prove, an offense that had a that was running on all guns, and I really do believe the running back Grigsby that they brought in is playing far better than anybody had anticipated, and therefore, you know, they caught the Argos by surprise, and Grigsby is still doing well. He did well in the second game as well.
Oh,
so you know. So let's see. Now that gives us Storm. How do you feel about that matchup? And as far as depth is concerned, what do you see as the contributing factors to the victory or loss, whichever way it turns out?
Well, the contributing factor is Troy Smith to me. I mean, to me, he and don't get mad at me, but to me, he still shouldn't be a starting quarterback. He is not. After that Calgary game, that was brutal. I've never seen a quarterback throw over a person so many times, and even the BC game. Like, if he was playing another team besides BC or whatever sort of thing, he would have got destroyed. But run, Troy Smith, run. He's the fastest quarterback in the league. Run.
And they tied his legs together.
Exactly. And the thing is, like the other boys were saying, is like, where are these calls coming from? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but when you're missing by many yards over the guy's head, I mean, that's not even close. He's got a strong arm. Drew Willey, I still doubt him a bit, but he did good in the first two games. But I still doubt him. Like I said, five games. Five games and go from there.
Once there's a book on him, we'll see.
But, you know, like when it comes down to that game, I don't know. That's a real tough one.
How about you, Kim? Do you have any – and by the way, thank you for getting rid of that hissing sound. It's actually gone.
It was actually my headphones.
Is that what it was?
Okay,
all right. Yeah, so I apologize. I wasn't trying to be rude by killing your mic. It just really was loud. Go ahead.
I think Winnipeg is going to come out strong again with they're on that momentum of they've already gotten two wins behind them. And that now I think they're going to lose that momentum right away. And they know they're the team that has always been underrated. And I think every team we play now is going to underrate us with one, two back-to-back and aren't going to try their hardest. And they're going to come out and win it.
So they're going to keep surprising their opposition as the opposition comes up.
Yes.
How do you feel about the quarterbacks in this game? Willie far superior to Smith?
Oh, very much. I really like Willie.
And how do you like the Montreal defense, and what do you think it'll look like? I think this will be the most interesting part of the game when Montreal's on defense against Willie. I think that's going to be really the biggest tell on who will win the game. What do you think?
I don't know. Montreal, I haven't really paid attention to this season.
Well, you should. They're in our division, Kim.
I don't. Well, last time they played, my dog was driving me berserk, and I had to take her to the park. So I saw the first 2 minutes of the game and spent 3 hours at a dog park.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. I'm glad your dog had a good time. I'm glad your dog had a good time. Let's move on to the next game. That game is we have talked about Toronto and Calgary. Now we've talked about Winnipeg and Montreal. The second half of the doubleheader on TSN on Friday night will feature the Ottawa Red Blacks in at Edmonton. Edmonton's the reason I was thinking about depth. And Chris Jones, when he brought the team together and he was bringing the team together, he made so many mentions about the fact that we need to have some depth. We need to have multiple players that are able to play each position. I think this is going to be a real test for Edmonton. They had four key injuries in the last game they played, and they're going to have to fill those holes with players that are in camp or they even picked up – I forget who they picked up. But anyway, they even picked up a player to help make things work out. Ottawa has not really had any major issues with injuries. They're an experienced team. Edmonton, a younger team. I'm going to start by saying that I think Chris Jones has done a great job in convincing these players, no matter which one he puts in the lineup, that they're capable of doing the job. The one reputation that Chris Jones has is he's very organized. He's very, intense. He's very gung-ho on chasing the game. And by chasing the game, I don't mean letting it get out of hand and then chase it. I mean chase the game and get control of the game first. He's a very aggressive coach. His teams are very aggressive. And they'll be playing against a team in Ottawa that has a lot of experience and a lot of intelligence, I think, would be fair to say. And so what we're going to have is the young Bucks against the old, experienced guys, the veterans in Ottawa, which is kind of ironic considering that Ottawa's in their first year. And I happen to think that Ottawa in this game may surprise Edmonton. I won't give away who I think is going to win, but I do think that Edmonton has a few holes. Riley, though, has been masterful as a quarterback. He is ranked number 2 in the CFL right now. None of us should be surprised that he's done so well. But we all know what Burris can do as well. So I'd say it's a soft at quarterback. And I think the real depth is going to be on defense. Which of these teams provides the better defense? The depth of defense will be the reason why the teams win, I think. We'll start with you, Kim. You were last time, started at the top of the list. And what do you think about these two teams, our old coach Chris Jones and our old players Pottinger and Appel?
I think Ottawa, I'm going all the way with Ottawa this season. They've got players with so much experience that the new players that are on the team, they're teaching those players. You've got players like Pottinger, Appel. They've got 16 players who have played in the CFL for a few years and playing against teams where they know the plays that have been played, they know the coaches, they know how all the other players play. I think Ottawa has a real advantage with all that.
Perfect. How about you, Storm? Hey, Storm. He's got his mic off. Okay, we'll go to Kelly, and then Storm's next.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you guys on Ottawa. I think they're, a group of veterans, but I don't know if they're a team of veterans. Now, with that said, they do have a lot of upside. It's just traveling out to Edmonton for this one. I think the Eskimos are still kind of firing on all cylinders, and I really, it's too bad Ottawa lost last week, because I really can't see them pulling this one out in Edmonton. I think their team depth is questionable next to Edmonton's. Edmonton's been working on building this team for 3 years, and they've really, whittled down their 54-man roster at a training camp, and they've got some guys with some real talent there. And I just see that coaching staff in Ottawa being upset again at the end of the game with another loss. But nothing against Ottawa, but that's just the way I see it. I think that they have too big a hurdle heading into Edmonton on the road.
Hello?
Storm?
Yes.
Did you get your point across?
Nope.
Go ahead.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game for both teams.
So you're saying, rather than talk about the scoring, talk about the defense. You figure that both defenses are... I don't want you to give away who you think is going to win. I just want you to tell us...
No, I understand that.
Okay, good.
I just go with Ottawa because they just I feel their defense is better, but I think Edmonton's offense is better than Burris's offense. So it's just another tough one for me, and I don't really care about Edmonton's
field
goal kicker Grant Shaw. I mean, that's missing field goals. That's got to stop.
Okay, so what will be the factor that you think these two teams are battling? Where's the rub going to be? Where's the rubber going to hit the road with these two teams? I happen to think that Winnipeg, the quarterbacks, the success of the quarterbacks and the defense may determine who's going to win that game. And then I think I'll win based on that information, whatever information. That's what I'm asking you. Where are the strengths and how do they line up as far as the depth's concerned at each position? And you brought up an interesting point that no one's raised as yet, and that's the kicking game. The kicking game could be an issue between these two teams?
Yes. Well, of course it can. And when it comes down to quarterbacks, even though I was a Burris fan from years ago, but when it comes to those two quarterbacks, I give a little bit of advantage to Riley, yes. But Burris, he's done it before. Offense, Edmonton, yeah, they got their injuries and stuff like that, and Ottawa doesn't really have any. So I give the advantage to Edmonton on their offensive line. Mm-hmm. I give a defensive line for Ottawa. But it's one of those ones where I shake my head and I just don't know which way to go. But what really bothers me is Edmonton's kicking game, and that's if that doesn't stop, he's gonna be gone. Plain and simple.
There you go. How about you, Mr. Bruce John Inch?
Ottawa. I like Ottawa. I like Henry
Why?
Bruce, CJ. Why? Because of Henry Bruce and CJ Waku. And that's about it. I'm telling the truth. You know, those guys, you know, I called them before the game that they were going to do the hat trick, and they got two of them. I couldn't believe
there
that.
You go.
And they, but no, Ottawa seems to be clicking for a so-called brand new franchise just coming in. So I say, look out! I'm with Schmitty on that one. Look out, Ottawa.
They, you know, the CFL is all about the quarterback, and if you have one of the better quarterbacks in the league, how can you expect to do anything
but
have success?
Well, you
got to
have the receivers to catch the ball too, and to make the moves, and they got that. And you got to have an O line to protect the quarterback, and I think they have that because I don't know what's the stats on Henry. How many times has he got sacked this year? I know
enough.
He's thrown a couple of interceptions. Has he? Yeah.
How about you, Mike?
Oh man, Montreal. I think the quarterback position it belongs to Ottawa. One thing I'm going to disagree with Bruce is when Bruce, not Bruce, I'm sorry, Bruce Kelly.
All right.
And when they said that Ottawa is not a team yet, Ottawa is a team.
Mm-hmm.
They just fell short last week. They got a lot of veterans. That got a lot of games in the CFL, a lot of veterans that got a lot of games played, and all it takes is one or two games to get that offensive core clicking and that defensive core clicking. Ottawa is something to be reckoned with, man. And but I'm not going to sell Edmonton short. I mean, Edmonton is playing good ball right now. Now,
they sure are.
When we get to like week 5, 6, 7, we're going to see the real Edmonton Eskimos when it's going to get towards second half of the season. We'll really see what Edmonton is really playing like and what they're playing with as far as offense and defense.
You know, I agree with you, and I'll add to what you're saying by saying this. Expansion teams historically have always been teams made up of very young guys with no experience, and guys with a lot of experience usually who were mid-range players, not really that good. The difference, the subtle difference this year is that the CFL allowed good, older players to be set free for Ottawa to use. But one thing that is consistent in the expansion model is that they don't have any of those middle-aged guys. They have really young guys and really old guys. And that's what I think they're going to have to fill with. And those are the guys basically that carry the mail. And probably, and this is just throwing paper against the wall and hoping, spaghetti against the wall and hoping that it sticks. But it's those middle-aged guys that allow a team to play 60 minutes of the game. I think what we saw in as far as the game between Winnipeg and Ottawa, that Ottawa took the lead early in the game, I think their good players are a little bit old and long in the tooth, and they don't have any experienced guys in the middle age group who physically can handle the full 60 minutes. You know, and I think that's a problem, that's where Ottawa's going to have trouble this year. You know, going down into the third and fourth quarter, they're going to have difficulty playing well, just because the guys that they're relying on are very old, and they don't have any mid-range age guys of any amount to carry the team physically throughout the 60 minutes. And we all know about football and any sport. It's not about how well you do at the beginning or at the end. It's how well you do through the whole game. You can lose a game at the end. You can lose a game at the beginning. You can win a game at the beginning. You can win a game at the end. But you got to play the 60 minutes. If you don't do that, you don't win. You know, and that's the key. And I think that's the biggest drawback Ottawa has, in my opinion, is they don't have any of those mid-range age guys that can play physically for the 60 minutes. Mike, you like Ottawa because. Mike? Did I lose Mike? Oh, okay, we lost Mike. On that note, we'll take a short break. And why don't we start with, yeah, we'll start with this.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argos Cheerleaders. And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
One, two, three.
We're the Argos Cheerleaders. And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Woo! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
There you go, Frank.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, sis.
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat! Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it!
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
Hello, everyone. I'm Candid Frank Live and a member of the Argo Lifers, a fan supporter group of the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. As a group, we have been dedicated to working hard at Argo games, screaming, yelling, and doing whatever it takes to distract the opposition in the CFL. Guess what? We have been noticed by many, including the Toronto Argonauts themselves. In fact, we have been noticed by you, the fans, as well. Even the players and coaches and all the Argo staff are pleased and appreciate our support. So much so that the season tickets are being offered to you, you, and you for next season for very close to half price. What do you have to do to share in this opportunity? Just use my name, Candid Frank Live Stanishi, when calling Argo sales rep Chris Andrioli at 416-341-2793. You heard it, nearly half price from Chris Andrioli at 416-341-2793. Just say Candid Frank Live Stanishi sent you. That number again, 416-341-2793. I hope I'll be yelling next to you in 2014. Argos! They rule. And, all right, we're heading down the home stretch of the program, and as I promised around this time, we would start talking about our predictions for this week. And I think this is Kelly's favorite part of the program, where he gets to make his prediction and tell us exactly why he's right in as far as the prediction that he's going to make. So why don't we start with Kelly? Want to go one game at a time, Kelly? Want to go one game at a time?
It doesn't really matter.
Okay, let's go one game at a time.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so let's start
with the
first
game. Which game would you like to start with?
We'll start with the first of the doubleheader on TSN on Friday night, Winnipeg in Montreal.
Winnipeg in Montreal. I'm going with Montreal this week. I think it's, as I said before, a little bit too much to ask from Drew Willie and this young Bomber squad to win three in a row. Their time is going to come sooner or later. Everybody loses. I think it's this week in Montreal. That's all I got.
There you go. You heard it. Kelly Bale has made his pick. Look for Montreal to beat Winnipeg and give Winnipeg their first loss of this young season. Hang on a second. A message from Derek Christopher.
You're full of crap. You're full of crap.
We know what Derek will say about that, right? Okay. I'm not going to argue the point. So instead, we'll go to Bruce John Inch. Bruce, baby.
I'm going with Winnipeg for the reasons I stated why they were a better team. I don't know. It's going to be kind of trivial right now, right? Because everybody's going to pick the same team that they said was better. I don't know. I'm picking Winnipeg because I believe in Drew Willie. How's that? And I don't believe in Ocho Rio.
Ocho Cinco?
Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, whatever he is. Yep. Nothing against him, but I'm just all the hype, and I've seen nothing. So I got no choice but to troop the guy, you know, until I see something. That's my job.
And you like it.
A lot of people don't like me for it, but hey, man, I wake up tomorrow the same man. That's all good to me.
I'm sorry to hear that. How about you? How about you, Mike?
I love you, buddy.
Me
you
too.
Know that.
Hey, Mike, what do you think?
Well, I think this year, for this week's game, Winnipeg and Montreal, I think Montreal is going to beat Winnipeg, and I'll make a prediction. I predict that we're going to see a Chad Johnson touchdown dance in the end zone this week.
There you go. I hope you're right, actually. I want to see him dance.
Which one will he do? Can you predict which one? Not only are you predicting that he will do a touchdown dance, which one will he do?
You know what? I think he's going to do the Mexican dance he always does.
But then gosh!
I think him and the wide receivers might have some up their sleeves. So when he do a little touchdown dance, they might do a little something, a little synchronized dance.
I want to see the bowling one.
Something.
Wasn't it him that did the bowling one?
Uh-huh.
That's the one I want to see.
Pull the cell phone.
I'm gonna make another bowl prediction. You're gonna hear it first. I believe he's going to go over 100 yards receiving this week.
Whoa.
Hey, buddy.
And does that mean you're picking them to win?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you heard it first.
We have Bruce John Inch, Winnipeg.
Yes, sir.
Mike Townsend, Montreal.
Yes, sir.
Kelly Bell.
Montreal.
Kelly Bell.
Did he bail
Montreal?
No,
nope,
okay.
There you go.
Why Montreal?
Me?
You were speaking in general terms before, now specifically.
Right.
That's
the
difference.
Montreal, they basically got a team that hasn't played to their full potential. And with Winnipeg, you know, facing the quality of opposition that they have so far this season, they faced a floundering Toronto team. They faced a brand-new expansion team in Ottawa and almost lost. That's what I'm basing my pick on. I've seen more out of Montreal than I have seen out of Winnipeg, considering the aspect of the home field advantage for Montreal.
Which puts
it
over the top?
That's what I'm basing my pick on. Yeah,
which
for
puts
sure.
it over the top?
It's tough to win in McGill, and there's tons of new guys on Winnipeg. I would hate to be Winnipeg this week, to tell you the truth.
Well, what's the saying? Great defenses beat great offenses, right? And if Montreal has the better defense, if Montreal has the better defense and Winnipeg has the better offense, I can't argue your train of thought for sure. How about you, Schmidt?
And Sean White too.
Yeah, and Sean White.
Playing well.
What about you, Mr. Schmidt?
My opinion is I want to go with Winnipeg, but
have a feeling Troy Smith will finally come out of the bag, but I'm a little bit skeptical on that, but I'm going Montreal by 5.
That's 3-1 Montreal. Kim, you going to make it close?
I say it's going to be Winnipeg by 10.
Yeah. All right.
No, she did not
and
say that.
And specifically? Because? And specifically why? What will be the...
They've got a momentum going.
All right. That's
I think
you're going to
keep going
earlier.
After
yeah, okay. Gotcha. Well, I as an Easterner, and even though we're talking of Montreal, which is too far east, I have to say that Montreal, I think they have my vote this week, and strictly based on what I said moments ago, and that is that great defenses always beat, well, not always, but generally, for the most part, regularly beat better offenses. So really the difference in this game is going to be is how much better is the Montreal defense than the Winnipeg offense, and how poorly the offense of Montreal plays against Winnipeg's pretty good defense. And, if Smith does come up with a kind of game, a breakout game out of that bag like Schmidty's talking about, definitely they're going to win if that's the case. Winnipeg, their defense is literally going to have to smother the Montreal offense to accomplish nothing, because I think Montreal's defense will be able to handle Willie, and I think it'll be a tough game for Willie this time. So I got to make it 4-2.
Yep.
I got to make it 4-2 Montreal.
Wow.
So now we've got Ottawa and Edmonton, the back half of the TSN doubleheader on Friday night. I'll start this one by suggesting that I really think that Riley has really proven early in this season that he is, right now, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the CFL. That might be something that there'll be a little bit of arguing, especially my Argo friends. I think Ricky Ray is the best older quarterback in the league, while Riley is an up-and-comer. But I think Ricky Ray is the guy that you need to win. Don't misunderstand me. But I just think that you've got a kid in Riley that has a lot to prove, and I think he's going to continue building on his reputation. And I happen to think that he knows what people are saying about Willie, and I think Riley is a very competitive kid. And I see him and Willie 1-2 on the young quarterback horizon. And I just happen to think that Ottawa will not be able to play a full game for the reasons that I said, that they don't have enough mid-range aged guys. They have a lot of older players and a lot of younger, inexperienced players. And that mix is great for short bursts, but it doesn't bode well in the long run. So, I'm going to take Edmonton in that game. What do you think, Kim?
I agree with you. I'm with Edmonton.
Okay. So that gives us 2-0 Edmonton. Stormy, where do you want it to go from here, buddy?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Another tough one again. But, two good quarterbacks. It's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be at least 70 points for the total score.
Wow.
And I'm giving it to 41-30 for Ottawa.
That makes it 2-1. How about you, Kelly? It's 2-1 Edmonton.
Yeah, I'm going to have to back the Eagle Empire this week. Edmonton's too strong for Ottawa right now. I can't see the Battle of the Trenches going to Ottawa. I can't see the offense going to Ottawa. I can't really see the defense going to Ottawa. And I think, special teams may be one facet of the game that might keep them in it for at least a little while. But I'm counting on Edmonton this week as a home team as well.
And that's, I guess that makes it 3-1, right?
Yep.
Okay, and how about you, Mr. Inch?
Well, we'll make it 3-2 because I'm going for Ottawa for reasons.
There you go, 3-2.
Yep.
I don't think it'll be high scoring, no. I think it'll be like 21-17.
What'll be the headline?
I think the headline again is going to be Henry Booth and Siobhan Walker coming over from Hamilton. And Hamilton messing up and letting them go. That's what's going to be the headline. More bad news for the Tabbies. That'll be the headline.
What do you think I thought when Burris left Calgary? Same thing, buddy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Amen. Takes us to the Great Cup, but then we let him go. Good move. But let's move on.
Mike?
Well, I'm going with, and I'm going to say this. This Edmonton-Ottawa game is going to be just like the Ottawa-Winnipeg game. I believe this is going to be a barn burner for sure.
Quick start for Ottawa with Edmonton
game.
Making a comeback?
I'm going with Edmonton. And headliner of the game, Fred Stamm scores 3 touchdowns.
There you go. You know, Riley is the perfect quarterback for Stamps. You know, because I think it's important for Stamps to be able to outmaneuver his coverage because he can do it so well. And when you've got a scrambling quarterback, that's basically that plays right into Fred Stamps' style and what he needs. Because what does a defense do when the quarterback starts running? People start leaving coverage and start assuming something else is going to happen. And that distraction is just enough to give a great player like Stamps a wonderful opportunity to stand up in the open.
Oh, yeah. This
great
is gonna
player.
This is going to be a high-scoring game. This is going to be a high-scoring game. I can't wait.
And
I'm
going to
be shut down
that,
early so I can watch this.
There you go. And I happen to think that Fred Stamps is a happy camper this year. You know, he's got a great quarterback. It looks like his team has got a decent defense that doesn't rely on the offense too much. You know, the game of football is three phases. You know, it's defense, offense, and special teams. And if all three of if you have good in all three of those categories, it's great for everybody because that means nobody's on the field too long. And that's the hard part about football. If a defense can't stop an offense, they get more and more tired and more susceptible to making mistakes. So, yeah, Edmonton has more of an average team. Ottawa, not so much. You're bang on. Okay, so I guess that means now we'll go to game three. That's Calgary at Toronto. I'll go last this time. Mike, you go first.
Calgary, Toronto. I'm going with Toronto again. Ricky Ray, Chad, I think headline of the game, Chad Owens, 4 touchdowns.
Wow. I thought he's done some
amazing
things.
Oh, man, you just made me choke on my mushroom soup.
Wow. Yeah, you're killing Inch, man. You're killing
Bruce.
Wow,
you just made me choke, man.
Exactly. Next thing he's going to say that Ray's gonna throw for 500 yards. How's that soup doing now?
Wow.
Quick question. Is Jason Barnes still in Argo, Frank?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He made a great
I
catch in the last
game.
He's
going to have a big week. He's going to have a big week.
Well, if you watch the game.
I just added him to Facebook, and I got a feeling about it this week for him. I just think he's going to
have a
really
awesome. Did you see the catch he made
really
over
awesome
the other
week.
Shoulder? Did you?
Yeah.
Then you didn't see the catch
I
he made over.
I remember that.
Yeah, he made
I
that catch
that from last game.
Yeah, and the announcers were saying that was even a better catch than Childs.
Yeah, and the S.J. Green catch from the Montreal game, it was better than that, too.
It just doesn't look as difficult, but to be able to turn your body and catch the ball over the wrong shoulder is amazing.
Yep.
And when you look at it again, you begin to understand what they're saying. But still, that Childs catch with one hand, bouncing it and still grabbing it, that was a fine athletic feat. That was a fine athletic feat. And, you know,
for
Ricky
sure.
Ray is a great quarterback, and he puts the ball where you need it to be. And those kinds of catches are made because you know it's going to be where it needs to be, and you just have to adjust a little bit. Yeah, so Mike, Toronto over Calgary, and the headline, Ricky Ray throws for 400 yards again. What's the headline?
Four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns, 400 yards.
I'm gonna go. I'm not gonna go four. I'm gonna make a bold prediction and go five touchdowns. At least
wow.
three or four. I'm gonna go to Chad Ocho. Chad Owens.
Chad
this
Ocho.
Is be it, right? Yeah. This right here is going to Ricky Ray is going to air this ball out, and Jason Barnes is going to get maybe one, but I believe Owens is going to get three or four touchdowns this
against
game.
Against Calgary
be,
defense, come on now.
Man, please, he carved him up like a Thanksgiving turkey. We talking about Ricky Ray, bro.
Yeah, well, we can have Thanksgiving every day, so what's your point?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
He's saying the Argos are going to have horse for dinner.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah.
I think that's what he's saying. Okay, how about you, Bruce? I know you're not going to root for the Argos, so you're taking Calgary
you
this one?
You know my answer. There
yeah,
you
you're taking
I'm
Calgary. Sorry. So it's 1-1. 1-1, Calgary and Toronto. How about you, Kelly? Toronto, Calgary, headline?
Oh, definitely Toronto. You know, I saw them basically dismantle what I consider to be the best defensive backfield in the CFL last week in Saskatchewan. And like I said, I just have this eerie feeling about Jason Barnes having a massive week. I put my money where my mouth is. Chad Owens picked him up again on my fantasy team. I think he'll have a monster week as well, Mike. I think it's going to be all Argos. I mean, no discredit to Calgary. I think Calgary is actually a lot better than I, and this pains me to say this, Storm, but they are a lot better than I gave them credit for in the preseason. And it's going to be, you know, respectable score on Calgary's side, but I think the Argos are going to run up some numbers.
Yes, sir.
And that's 3-1. Because
yep.
I think I said the Argos, too. No, actually, I didn't, but
yeah.
We all know
oh,
where
I'm
going.
You said you were
going
to go last.
Yeah, I said I was going to go last. You're right.
Well, we know what you're going to say anyway.
2-1,
so
yeah, well,
it.
You can – wow, there you go. So why don't you say what you're going to say that we know where you're going to say? How's that? I don't know. Who are you picking, Toronto or Calgary?
I'm talking to
who
me
are
now.
You going for, Storm?
Well, you know what? My heart's in Calgary, but, you know, Ricky Ray is a great quarterback. Calgary lost Mo Price and Corners this week, so that's a big dent.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play good in Toronto. It doesn't look good for Calgary, but you know what? Calgary by four.
2-2.
2-2.
2-2.
Fair.
Okay.
And
no,
we
no.
got Charlton Hughes, and I tell
and
you,
in
if,
defense,
he gets on, if Charlton Hughes gets on a roll, watch out Ricky Ray.
You know,
oh,
in agreement with you, I'll say this. As the devil's advocate to myself, I will say this. I will say that sometimes in adversity, teams play way over their head with a loss
mm-hmm.
of key players because sometimes it creates an atmosphere in the opposition that you're an easier take, you know what I mean? And it
mm-hmm.
drops their guard just enough that it gives your team an opportunity to gain some confidence, momentum, and maybe even a victory. So yeah, never assume that anybody's going to win. We're just picking based on what we think is going to happen. But there's a lot of
yeah.
variables that enter into a game that make us right, and there are a lot that make us wrong. So yeah, my best wishes to you and your team. You know, I enjoy going to the games, and I enjoy the competitive nature of the games. And I'm disappointed that Cornish isn't there because you know he's one of the reasons why I enjoy watching Calgary. And I'm one of those guys that believes it's a lot more fun beating the best on a team rather than a team that's wounded. So that's why I'm hoping Hamilton's healthy by the time we get to play them, because I want to beat a healthy Hamilton, not a tired and broken Hamilton, because that's no fun. It's going to hurt. It's got to really hurt. So that makes it 2-2. Kim, you can break the tie temporarily or permanently, however you wish. Calgary and Toronto, who's going to win? What's the headline?
Of course Toronto's going to win.
Headline?
I think they're going to win by a lot. Like, I think Barnes is going to get a couple of touchdowns. Spencer Watt, I think he'll get a few touchdowns.
And what about Chad Owens? Are you leaving any for him?
He's kind of always a given that he's going to get one. I just always assume every game he's getting one.
I got a box of Kleenex for him.
Oh, oh, he's having a good year this year. Last year was an off year for Chet.
Last year he didn't play, but he had a real off season last season.
He sure
but
did.
This season he's coming back like he played how he played it the first season he was with Toronto.
That's right. That's right. The year before. His MOP
yeah.
year.
Yes.
Absolute. 100% right. I agree with you. So it's 3-2 now. I get to break the tie. Oh, no, wait. The tie's already been broken. Kim had the pleasure of doing that. I'll just have to make it worse for the Calgary fans.
I'm so surprised.
I don't want to surprise anybody, but I'm picking the Argos. Here's the headline for me. Are you ready for the headline? Winning field goal. Winning field goal by Swayze Waters.
Oh,
in the final minutes
now.
Of the game. Yep, I'm saying that it's going to be one at the foot of Swayze Waters. He's going to get a 45, 48-yarder for the victory for Toronto in the dying minutes of the game, and that's why they're going to win. And I think it's going to be one of those games where Toronto's going to come out flat, Calgary is going to come out strong, and it's going to have to be a comeback victory for the Argos. And I think they'll
You know what, Frank? I was thinking about that before. I was thinking Paredes is going to come out and win the game for Calgary, but they'll win by four, and best kicker in the whole league. But anyways, I just wanted to note on what you just said. So,
oh, okay. Well,
I think if that happens, you'll find out that they had 13 men on the field like Saskatchewan. Didn't drop it to
no,
5 yards and kick it over and miss.
Paredes don't miss.
No, not him. Swayze.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Patrick
Swayze.
Could be worse. Could be Grant Shaw.
That's the first guy I think of when they name him. That guy, hey, Sweezy's old dude. Who was Patrick? I thought he was dead. You know?
Oh, wow.
We're all dead.
Man.
I didn't mean that as mean as it sounded. I love that guy, man. He was a great actor. No, I didn't. I didn't mean that at all. The way it sounded. So, just for all you listeners out there, I don't need no PMs.
You won't get it. You won't
be surprised.
Get it. You'll get a few bombs, maybe.
Not PMs.
Yeah, okay, so, okay, that covers Calgary and Toronto, and the way we're moving, we're going to have some time to talk after we do the picks, so that'll be interesting. Actually, what we can do is we can argue about why we think the other one's an idiot for making that pick. So, I guess, BC at Saskatchewan. I love this game. You know, this game is perfectly set, you know, for the final game of the week, because I happen to think it will be the highlight game of the week. These are two teams that if neither of them are on a mission, if one of them isn't on a mission, they're going to have a really poor season. This is going to set up a slump for one of these two teams. These two teams, I'm not saying they're fragile, but I'm saying that momentum is necessary, and this could be burying the opposition and taking the lead in the standings, and this could guarantee which team finishes first. As we know, how you do against the opposition you finish tied with. Let's say these two teams finish tied. We're going to look back at this game as being a contributor to which one of them finished first, because I happen to think that these two teams are the teams that originally, before the season started, that many of us picked to finish first or second. Winnipeg has altered people's thinking by the way they played. Calgary is still on the fence, and the game against the Argos will help decide that. And I happen to think in this game, I think Saskatchewan has shown that they're able to play well. BC has not. BC has been terrible in both games. They were full value for their loss. And are they able to play better? Absolutely. But I just happen to think that the BC team has something missing, or something's on the team that's causing a distraction. This looks like a team distracted and confused. I don't think Saskatchewan is or will be confused at home. I think they play very well at home. And I happen to think that they'll take this game. So I'll give them a 1-0 lead. And I guess we'll start with you, Kim. You were last time.
I think I'm going with Saskatchewan. BC, I haven't been impressed with, and I don't think they're going to play well until Lule comes back.
So that's 2-0 Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Okay, Storm.
Don't like Saskatchewan, of course, but this game is, my expectations for BC was finishing first in the West, even over my Stampeders, is, I think, out the window. Not yet, but you never know. But you know what? Durant over Glenn. Glenn struggling. Saskatchewan by at least 24.
So that's 3-0. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, that I'm surprised. I shouldn't be because I picked Saskatchewan. Why wouldn't everybody agree with me? I have it all figured out. I'm being sarcastic. And I was, okay, Bruce, it's 3-0, man.
And we're going to make it 4-0.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, all right. You know, I'm
glad
surprised
Bruce
that
Jones,
BC didn't get off
Jones
to the start they did. I've kind of almost switched my my position on BC hosting, and, well, they're going to host it, but being in it. I don't know. I honestly have.
They're not. Well,
you know, they did go 0-5 when they won it last time at home. So, you know, history's there.
That's past tense, man.
Yeah, I know, but history's there. You know, history does tend to, it can repeat itself.
It can.
Yeah, but that's like winning the lottery.
What's the headline? Yeah, I get you. What's the I get you, Storm. What's the headline, Bruce? BC Mrs. Lule?
Yeah, probably, yeah. If Glenn, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the headline would be. I don't know. But I can't see Saskatchewan losing in Saskatchewan, number one. All right, the game's at home. They're going to have their fan base back behind them. And I think they'll shine like they did the first game.
I'm thinking the headline's going to be, if BC loses like I think they will, the headline's going to be, maybe Glenn isn't as good as we thought.
Well, maybe. Yeah, true.
That may be the headline, because Glenn's got to do something. You know,
I know.
Three games.
Who do they have after
losses.
Glenn?
He can only play who's in front of him.
Beck. They got Beck. John Beck.
And he can only play in front of the offensive line that he has. And Calgary was much way better than it was in BC with what they have now.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the situation. And,
is he going to be under pressure, or is he going to go out there and kick some butt, or what? Who knows?
Well, who do you think? You think he'll, you know, these are two rivals for your Calgary Stampeders, Saskatchewan and BC. You know, every year the past few years, these are the two teams that you were mixing and matching, first, second, and third, and also the Western Championship. So which one do you think is going to have a leg up in this game, and what's the headline?
Headline will be Durant will pass for 400 yards.
Whoa!
And 4 touchdowns. And like I say, it's going to be a 24-point win for Saskatchewan, and then there's going to be changes in BC.
Awesome. And changes in BC. Oh, my God. I don't think it'll get that bad, but I do think there'll be some questions asked. You know, maybe Glenn isn't that good will be the first and biggest question. And I would be surprised. I am surprised at how ineffectual Glenn has been in BC. I really thought, you know, I know they brought him in, you know, before the draft, you know, at the draft and all that. I know that probably means that he didn't have time to do his homework. And, you know, because, you know, they don't start working together and working on their season, you know, at the draft. They usually, actually, I'm sure my friend Bruce John Inch is aware, that Caleros was in Hamilton in February, late February, early March, you know, working on...
Yeah, he obviously had to play books and reading them and discussing different things with the offensive coach and that, for sure.
Right. And
but I thought Kevin would have done a lot better off the gate, too, just to prove the fans and prove Ottawa, you know, something. But it is what it is, right?
Right, right. So, did I hear an answer as to who will win, Storm?
Who will win?
Saskatchewan and BC.
The Rider game.
Oh, I told you Saskatchewan will win by 24.
Okay, that's 5-0.
No, we already had him. You went back to him, Frank. It's still 4-0.
Oh, okay, still 4-0.
I think you got to go to Mike and then me.
Okay, Mike. Oh, you then, Mike. Go ahead. You're up.
Who, Kelly or me?
Yeah, Kelly. You're last.
Oh, okay. I'll go You know, I really thank you guys for all the support this week, because it's going to allow me to take BC and be happy either way.
You're kidding,
you know,
right?
What I'm saying?
You're
no,
kidding,
I'm
right?
Not. I'll take BC, because I think Saskatchewan's going to be a sellout for you guys, and I'll go against the grain, and when BC wins, you guys can all eat it.
Oh, I see. You're just going for the crow factor. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Mike?
I hope you're right there, buddy.
I mean,
I want BC to win, but the odds are, you know.
Do you know what I'm saying, though? Like, if Saskatchewan does somehow win, then
you'll
I'm happy either way, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, that's pretty lazy pick in there, buddy.
I'm going with
BC. You're really putting your hand on the fire, aren't you? You coward.
It's too close a game. It's too close a game. I'll say more about it. You know, it's just too close a game for me to pick. I think BC is going to be possessed on defense. I can't really see Durant having any running room against BC. He has before in the playoffs and stuff like that. It seems to me that if he can get past that first level of guys in the trench, then he can find some room into the secondary, because – BC's busy locking down receivers. So I just don't think we're ready to take it to that next level. Chris Getzlaf is still on the sideline this week. You're going to see Anthony Allen again in limited action, and you're going to see a little bit of Hugh Charles, and who knows how that'll work out. People here a little bit confused, a little bit happy about the Jerome Messam signing. He's not going to play this week. That's a guarantee.
Even though he was with the team in camp and released and then came back?
No, he just won't play. No, he's not not being
he's
put
insurance?
On the active roster.
He's
oh, yeah,
insurance?
Yeah, he's for down the road.
Okay,
he's a
gotcha.
Project.
Okay. So now that brings us to Mike Townsend. It's 5-1, Mike. You can make it close or further away.
I'm not making this game close at all.
6-1?
Like I said before, 6-1. Headline is Kevin Green throws 3 picks. John Bicks come in and throw 3 more and get set for a loss.
One touchdown, 6 interceptions. One touchdown, 6 interceptions.
He'd be pulled before mm-hmm. that happened, buddy.
Wow.
The thing about it is, I think with Kevin Glenn right now, not that he's not as good as we thought he was, the system that BC run does not fit Kevin Glenn.
No, it doesn't. I agree with you.
That's all that is. The offensive scheme that BC
runs. It fits in Calgary, but with BC it doesn't.
It doesn't fit with Kevin Glenn and BC. That's not a good fit.
So
if anything,
one of those,
Kevin Glenn should have been traded to Montreal to back up Trey Smith.
One thing you should point out, though, is Arsenal, I believe, is back this week for BC. That could
yep.
have an impact
means nothing.
On Glenn. Well,
means nothing.
I mean, it's an extra weapon for Glenn, right? It's, he's a
yeah,
tall,
but
rangy
one,
guy.
We all know one player don't win
the
game, though.
No, but I'm just saying he's got a bit of a security blanket this week back in Arsenal.
Yeah, he has
yeah.
a security blanket with Arsenal, but he doesn't show up in big games, if you ask me.
Yeah, I hear you. He doesn't show up in Saskatchewan too often.
Khalif Mitchell
there
posted a message from Arsenal, so I didn't get a chance to read the message, but I suspect it had something or other to do with them doing much better this week than they've done in the previous weeks.
For sure.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I'll tell you one thing, though. BC is not going to host their own Grey Cup game. I'll guarantee that. I'll eat my own Schmidt if that happens.
Oh, God. I don't need any Frank Zappa routines, okay? Thank you very much. It was bad enough when I saw him in concert.
I didn't swear.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
but
I tell you what.
That's one time I don't want to see a full of Schmidt.
hey, guys, BC is going to hold a cup, but it won't be the Grey Cup. It'll be a beer cup that they're sipping on in the stands. I tell you that much.
I got you there.
Mm.
Well,
career.
You know,
I'm not going for them.
So there you go. We've made our picks. We have a little bit of time left, and I wanted to discuss something that's of concern, not to me, really, but maybe of concern to some, but for the wrong reason. The game of European South American football has been front and center in the world, and some are suggesting every team in the CFL has had less attendance for their opening game this year than last year. Some suggest that it may have been, you know, because of and affected by the strike possibility, and a lot of people did not buy tickets, did not plan on you know, committing to the CFL, and therefore what we're seeing possibly is the aftershock of the, you know, the debate about how much players should be paid, how much owners should give away, and that kind of stuff. But another reason people are giving is that all this excitement and or attention that the World Cup of football, European and South American style, otherwise known in North America as soccer, the excitement brewing because of those games and all the attention garnered by them, that a lot of people are staying home and watching the soccer and not going out to watch the football. Mike, can I start with you? What do you think is the reason, now that I tell you the fact is, that the attendance is down in the CFL at all the home games, the first home games this year? And as a qualifier, I would like to mention as well that Saskatchewan's game was played under duress of the environment, which was, you know, a deluge of water. But still, the fact remains, less people were at the first Saskatchewan game and every other game, including here in my hometown of Toronto. Argos underdrew compared to last year, and every other team has underdrawn compared to last year that has had a home game thus far. Is it the soccer? Is
you
it
know,
the strike? What do you think?
No, neither. You know what it is? It's a thing that people call vacation.
But why didn't they take
people
that
out of
same
town,
vacation
man.
Last year?
You know what? Man, who knows? Maybe this is the year for financially long vacation. The home attendance, the home game attendance is going to pick up, especially when people start getting back to their provinces.
Routine?
You know, routine. You know, people going on vacation. I've seen so many Ontario tags down south for the 4th of July weekend, man, until it was not funny. I thought I was in Canada, to be honest with you.
We do get around.
And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that on a good note. People are traveling these days. They're not, you know, they're going on vacations, got their RVs out, got their campers out. You know, they're having fun with their families.
The era of the post 9/11 staycation is finally dissipating.
Just there you go.
Because that's what happened after 9/11. People didn't leave home. Everybody was scared to go anywhere.
Didn't leave home, scared to go places. So don't be worried. The CFL attendance at these home games is going to pick up very soon because kids are going to be going back to school pretty soon, and the only thing they're going to be able to do after school on a Friday night is get ready to go to a CFL game and enjoy the weekend and get ready to go back to school on Monday. Hey.
Yep.
No worries.
So it's just that's your reasoning. Another concern. How about you, Bruce? I mean,
I think it had to do with a lot of maybe you wait to some aspect of the soccer being on. Seems to be a hell of a lot more soccer fans than I ever remember. You know, you can even see it on the streets with the flags flying in the windows. But you know, I don't know. Maybe because Winnipeg sucked last year and now they're getting better, I think they'll have a bigger crowd as they keep winning. Look at what's happened in Hamilton. We're not even having a home game yet. Montreal, I can't really answer that. I don't know. What was their attendance?
Well, they shrunk their stadium by 1,000. So they couldn't.
Well,
even if they sold out, they wouldn't match. They would be under.
No. But, yeah, I think Mike has a valid point, too. People are being on vacation. I think it's a combination of things. I like to see what the TV ratings were.
Yeah, that's the next thing to look at, you know.
You know? But with that note, I'm going to let you guys all go. You guys have, there's only a few minutes left anyways. But you all have a good night, and I guess there'll be no show Friday, and we'll talk to you Monday after the Argonauts lose and Ottawa wins and yada, yada,
right
yada.
On, bud, all the way. Have a good night.
All right, man.
Argos! No, they don't.
Nobody blows, you know what? Anyways, have a great night, and good night to you too, Debbie.
Kim.
Kim, sorry, my bad. My bad.
Okay.
My bad. Okay, good night, people.
Good night. Okay,
night,
your
y'all.
Turn. Your turn, Kelly.
What are we talking about? Sorry, I got sidetracked there.
No, don't worry about it. There have been reports that every home game that's been played thus far in the CFL has less fans than last year. What's the reason?
I gotcha.
Is it the soccer? Is it the strike?
I think it's just a bunch of schmitty weather. You know, like, that's definitely what it was here. And I know even in Calgary and Edmonton, they didn't have, you know, glorious days.
And Winnipeg.
Out west here, you know, like, it's been kind of crappy. And, you know, I think that's added to it. I mean, it's only so many days you can go to the cabin. So if it's, like, you know, even 20 degrees out or whatever, it might be a decision, whereas other years it's not been. But I agree with Mike. I think people are enjoying their summers, and they'll settle into some CFL football as the year goes on.
And that brings you to Fuller Schmidt.
I sort of believe what you said, Frank. I think it is a combination of soccer, which is boring, like watching paint dry, but and the strike thing that could have happened, could have not happened. You know, the attendance, you know, I was surprised in Edmonton, I was surprised in Calgary, especially Toronto. We went through that before, and I don't know the other attendances across the league that they had, but I think it's the World Cup. I think it has a lot to do with it too, but I don't think it really has to do with the weather or the how sunny out is, how whatever sort of thing. You know, you buy your tickets, you go rain, shine, snow, right? So, you know you're buying something into something, so you work your schedule around that, right?
I hear you. How about you, Kim?
I think a lot of it's soccer. Everyone wants to go see the game, what games they can, and have all these parties, so they're saving their money for that. And when they were thinking about striking, no one's going to want to spend money, get season tickets, and have the season be on strike and have wasted that money. A lot of people don't have that money to waste for that. So I think with the combination between the soccer and the strike, that people aren't willing to take the risk.
Yep, that's what I think. I happen to think that the soccer and the strike did have an impact. I just don't know which had how much effect. But I think the combination of them essentially, you know, people were turned off by the fact that there was going to be a strike. And then the soccer came in, and there were lots of games to watch. And at least here in Canada, from what I've seen thus far, is this connection to the old country, you know, that old term that many of you young folks may not hear as much as we did back in the day, the old country where we have people who, like my parents were born in Italy, I wasn't, so I'll cheer for Italy, even though I'm born here in Canada. A lot of people are rooting for the Dutch. Brazil, there's a lot of people rooting for Brazil that have absolutely no connection to Brazil, but they love Brazil and they love what it represents, and they support Brazil. And that kind of excitement it's just overwhelmed the CFL. And the combination of them planning on going on strike maybe turned a few people off, made people think twice. That's it. We got 60 seconds left, guys. Thank you. Of course, Bruce John Inch, who left earlier, and, of course, Kim Weaver, Storm Schmidt, Kelly Bale, and Mike Townsend. Thank you guys for being on the program. It's been a real pleasure as usual. This is Wednesday. We will not be doing a show on Friday. There's a doubleheader of great CFL soccer to watch. We talked about those games. And the biggest upset, the biggest upset is going to be Saskatchewan over BC. So that one we really all seem to see that BC's in trouble. And they've still got two more losses they can have after that and still win the Grey Cup like they did a few years ago. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you again. This has been Candid Frank. The CFL is the best of football in the world. All you have to
do is
watch. Thanks for tuning in,
have
everyone.
Have a good night.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Mike has left the building.